Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
Honest, kind and helpful. If you think about feedback, you often think about feedback being either you're amazing and we don't really have to say much else, or feedback being I've got to give you some bad news, some bad opinion, something bad that you did or something not very good, and then I've got to try and make it seem nice. But if we follow along with it being honest, kind and helpful, we might be able to reframe the concept of feedback for both positive and negative and actually have it be something that is ultimately underpinned by being helpful. So let's get into what feedback can really be. So first of all, we always say we want feedback, right? If we send an email, we complete a job, a presentation, a performance of some sort, we always say feedback, please. At the end of every single podcast that I have, I ask for your feedback in the show notes. I ask for your feedback. I try and engage the people in social media in a way that is done by questioning and seeking to understand, because I'm always looking for feedback. But of course, when you get feedback, sometimes it's kind of cringy, or perhaps it misses the point of what you were trying to achieve, or you also just don't want to be told if you've done a bad job because you know it, or sometimes we bask in the glory of having been told that we've done really well, and that kind of blurs our vision or blurs our attitude towards future performances too, because we've done it once really well, we know that we'll probably do it the same way all the time. But in reality, the feedback that we're looking for can be delivered in numerous ways. So of course we talk soccer here. So we're talking about feedback for tryouts. Perhaps we're talking about feedback for games or for tournaments. If you do things like individual development plans, and I've harped on IDPs a lot, you kind of build those around feedback. You are using feedback all the time to measure success. So then when you do feedback with your players just at a 1,000-foot level, how do you deliver that feedback? How often do you do that feedback? Is it timely? Is it on the fly? Do you log that feedback? And then if we just drop down a little bit deeper into it, think about the last player that you gave feedback to, whether it was in the heat of the moment in a game or a training session, that something was good or something was bad or something wasn't quite right, or that you gave them information or feedback back with regards to their IDP or an overall performance, perhaps within a training cycle. Was it helpful? Was it kind? And was it honest? Because often we'll skirt around the honesty especially, and we will avoid giving them the harsh truth because we forget to do it in a kind way, and then we forget to do it in a way that is helpful. And the simple example may be that in our recent training cycle, we've been working on switching the point of attack. And the central midfielder, we've been working on them opening up and then playing a split pass between the left defender and the left center back. So between the 5 and the 3. That's some of the stuff we've been working on. And then this player now has a bad night at training, perhaps something else was going on, and my immediate feedback to that player might be something around, dude, you really struggled tonight. You got to get back into it. Now, this is something, of course, I'd never say. I would absolutely never say that to a player. But people do it, or perhaps in the heat of the moment, I probably have said it. I like to think that I wouldn't. I like to be more mindful around that, and I hope that you are too. But it happens. You go to a soccer field on the weekend, and you hear people say things like that all the time. So that immediate feedback was not very good. Now, do we have time in a training session to essentially sugarcoat this feedback or to structure this feedback into a couple of sentences that can provide meaningful feedback? I don't think we can. I think it's very difficult to do that, especially when I've already pushed on you the concept of having 2 or 3 or 4 points of contact with every single player. Then we're actually missing the overall coaching of the game. So how do I turn that immediate feedback into something that is honest, into something that is kind and helpful? Hey, center mid, saw what you did there. I can see you trying to do that. Perhaps if you release a little earlier, perhaps if you just hold on to the ball a little bit longer, perhaps if you do this and this and this, maybe next time you'll get it through. So suddenly I've acknowledged that the feedback is essential there, that you've made this mistake. I've also acknowledged from a kind tone, just the way I've said, I saw what you did there. I saw that you were trying to do it. So I'm acknowledging the attempt, because often we discredit or discourage players from performing those things when we immediately snap at them for failing. That's why you see a lot of kids will send the ball long, because they don't have the confidence to keep the ball, simply because they're scared that if they lose it, they'll be in trouble. And then the helpfulness comes from a coaching perspective, where I say, can you do this? Or could you, as I said, hold on to it a little bit longer, or perhaps let go of it a little bit sooner? So that, to me, is an immediate kind of feedback loop for our players, where I'm being honest with them, I'm being kind to them, and I'm being helpful. Now, of course, you know your players. You know your players, you know the ones that need a kick up the backside and respond really well to that immediate feedback that, hey, that was not good enough. And perhaps they know that. But then we could still add some helpful notes in there. This is what I saw. This is how I think that you could do this better. So the tone of which you can use to talk to different players, I don't disagree that there's value and there's response to all of your players from different tones. And so my challenge to you is also to know how to talk to every single player. I don't think that we can, in broad terms, speak in the same way to every single player. I know that myself, as a player, as an employee, I need someone to put their arm around me and tell me that I'm doing a good job, or that I need to do X, Y, and Z, or some things could be done better in other ways, but in a way that's approachable to me. Someone starts telling me what to do, I don't like it. I push back on that. I don't enjoy being told what to do without being asked my opinion or without being included in that feedback. And you'll very likely have players that will have the same feelings, the same attitude around how that feedback is received. So just knowing who they are is really, really important, and it allows you to build that stronger connection. So as I said, we go back to the concept of having 2 or 3 or 4 points of contact with every player in a training session. And the framework for that is always, one is a personal greeting. Whether they arrive 10 minutes early or 20 minutes late, it's still a personal greeting. I'm looking for at least one coaching moment through our practice, and then something to wrap up the training session with, or the game situation with, as they depart. So, you know, I know you have a test tomorrow, good luck with that. Or I know that today you did really well and the day before you struggled, so you did a really good job in terms of bringing your best game with you today, for example. So there's a 2 or 3, 4 moments that I'm looking at connecting with my players, and now I'm always trying to add in the helpfulness to them too within that coaching. So when you get your players together next, just consider how often you give them feedback, which is probably a lot in a training session, but then how often is that feedback honest, kind, and helpful? And now as we move through this, I want to jump into something around player retention, around tryouts, and around overall work environments. So player retention and tryouts, I kind of put them all together, because as much as we all hate tryouts, tryouts are unfortunately a part of the landscape here in youth soccer. I was working with a club recently. They fired me. I'll talk a little bit more about that another time, perhaps. But one of the biggest things that I encouraged and pushed for the club to do was to actually bring in every single player from last year and sign them before the tryout window opened. And the reason for that is they have already been a member of the club. If for some reason the player wants to leave because they want to pursue something else, then that's okay. At least from my own personal perspective, that's okay. It always sucks to lose players, because you always lose your best players. They're always going to somewhere better, which, if we reframe it, is also a good thing anyway. But the idea around inviting all of the players back, because they've already put money into the club, they already know the club, they already own the uniforms, they probably don't want to go anywhere anyway, and this is probably true for 90% of our players, maybe even more, if you've got good coaches and a good environment. So then the feedback for those players should just be continuous. And it's not, we want you back because you're a guaranteed customer. It's, we want you back because you've been a part of our club, you've put time into us, we've put time into you. Why would we then allow this tryout window to open and the chaos to ensue, where they worry that they have to go to another club because they think that they may not be welcome back to the team that they were on last year, or at least to the age group that they were in last year? So when I then say to the coaches of the organization, invite every player back, And then I get pushback that says, but these players weren't very good. And then my next question is, well, whose fault was that? Now, I understand you may join a club and you may be given a team, or you may have had somebody pick players for you, or you may have taken over the team that was already formed and so on. And I understand that perspective. But if these players aren't very good, what are you doing to make them better? What opportunities are you giving them to make them better? What are you doing for them in terms of constant feedback that is proving to be kind and helpful for them to be able to become better soccer players, to fit into your model, to fit into your desires for your team or for your club? And the reality of that answer is nothing. That parents probably figure out that their player isn't very good by the amount of playing time they get, or the amount of little feedback and communication they get from their coach. That's always very obvious. If you ever listen to a coach running a training session, they'll say the name of the best players a couple times more than they'll say anyone else's names, or they'll say the worst players' names because they're always picking on them. So then parents will figure that out pretty quickly. Playing time is always a really good one to know. Well, I'm not getting much playing time. The coach probably doesn't like me. And then now I'm going to start looking at other clubs or other opportunities because I'm just worried I'm going to lose my spot again. But if the feedback is continuous, things like IDPs, again, I harp on this, but if you have an IDP, you have a plan for players, you have a point of reference to communicate with every single player, best player or worst player, you have a point to build on with them. But then you're able to say, passing is still struggling, or this concept, or this concept, or this part is still not there. That's the honesty. You're not getting much playing time right now because X player, Y player, Z player has this handled. So your player is getting more opportunity when perhaps the game has slowed down, or perhaps we're playing against weaker opponents, or perhaps we're in control of a game. This is where your player is getting these opportunities. And now I think for myself as a parent, somebody tells that to me about my own player, that's something that is valuable for me, because then I understand where my player truly fits in without me having to guess. So then when I look at, okay, this coach has been very honest with me. Now, how has this coach been helpful? I understand my child is smaller, slower, has the worst touch. I understand that. I can see that. Now, how are you proving to be helpful in terms of the feedback that tells us my player is slower and is not as good as everybody else? How are you being helpful? Have you given me links to YouTube videos? Have you given me a game model from which we can start watching other videos or other teams or other games? Have you given us film access to the games if we film our games with a VO or whatever camera you guys might use? Have you given access to that? Do I have access to see my player playing just a little bit more in more meaningful ways so that I can go and work with my player? Or are you scared of telling me this honest feedback? Are you hoping that I just figure it out and probably look somewhere else? Or are you hoping that by the time we get to tryouts and then you don't say anything and I don't get picked, I think I'll just be okay with it? And unfortunately, this is happening far too often across the game, where players are just being chewed up and spat out for somebody better coming along. And this is true of every club in the area, in Sacramento, in the Bay Area, and it's chaos. But if we're really giving our players strong, solid feedback and understanding our place in the pyramid, there are a couple of clubs in the area with MLS next. So the reality is there are players that are going to be excellent in the most amount of teams in our area that are going to go and play at that level. That's understandable. And I think the sooner we understand that, the better. And it's probably the same in your community too. It sucks to lose players, I guess, but it's for the best for those players. And now my interest should always be in where the next players are coming from. Where are those next players coming from? They're coming from our younger age groups. They're coming from our recreational program. They're coming from the top of the team below me or the bottom of my own team. So my interest is in my current membership. It's in my current environment. Now, my feedback has to be honest with the players. Lee, you're just not there yet. Now I'm being kind because there is potential. You show moments where you understand it, where you perform really well in practice, in games, in this game, in that game, and that speaks to the level of your play. Now, here is what you're going to do, or what I want you to do, or what I want you to start doing to help raise your own level. And I've talked about this before in terms of giving players individual technical work to do at home, whether you use an app like TechniFootball or any of the other apps that are out there, my personal football coach, all of those things, if you look at them through the right lens, are amazing for your players. And one of the things I really like about them is it challenges your players to work on it. How much do you really want to work on it on your own? And then that says something to me about your desire, your commitment to be playing in the game, in the team, in this environment also. Now we've got a fair level where I'm saying, I want you to go and practice this. That's my helpfulness. And then I may say, here's a video of what we did, or here is something from the game last weekend. I want you to think about it. I want you to write about it. I want you to draw a picture, make a video, find somebody else who did the same thing, connect with this player who's really good at it, and find a way to talk about how you can improve. So I'm going to be as helpful as possible instead of being egotistical and saying, you're not good enough. You don't belong in this environment. And to wrap all this up, I'll give you the example of what I'm working through right now with the ODP program here in Northern California. I had 2009 boys last year. I have 2010 boys this year. It's my kind of specialty group. It's the age where there was a lot happening in my own life. There was being bullied. There was kind of figuring out life as a teenager and then getting into playing soccer beyond from the academy that I was in and just figuring out who I was. And so that's where I've kind of found my niche in soccer. I can work with most ages and most genders, but for me, this is a real special age group. So I have 61 players that came out to tryouts this past weekend, and of the 61, I can take 24, maybe 26 players into a pool, maybe a couple more. But the more I take, the harder it is, because only 18 will travel to our events. And if you want to see what our events were like, just check out my Instagram, Lead on Soccer. There's a story feed in there with Arizona and with Portland, and it's awesome. But the biggest thing that I'm doing right now is providing feedback. So there's three tryout weekends. There's August, September, October. Players are welcome to all three tryouts. And importantly, I want them to come back because I saw them play in the tryout on Sunday. And then I can say, you just weren't there this weekend. I saw how you were trying to play from the six, from the four, from the three, whatever your position was. And I could see how you were trying to progress the ball. I could see how whatever their strengths, whatever they were trying to do as I'm watching them, the 61 players. That's why I have evaluators that help me out too. But then I'm able to say, for next tryout, in this next window, we almost use it like a development period. Over this next month, I want you to try and practice this, this, and this. When you go to your team trainings, when you go to games, I want you to focus on doing this, this, and this moving forwards. Of course, I don't want you to detract from what you're doing with your team, but I do want you to consider these are the ways that I'm looking for you to play. So then they're learning something, or they're being able to take away something, and I'm being helpful along with honest and kind in my feedback instead of saying, yeah, you did a great job. And then when the roster comes out, they didn't make it. Like, well, what? How can I make the team if I don't know what I'm supposed to do, if somebody else is just doing it and I'm not doing it? Like, help me out. So that's really where I'm coming from, giving you a real life example of being honest, being kind, and being helpful. My ultimate goal is for the players and for the game of soccer to be the best thing that any player can be a part of, for the game to grow, to support the game, to be the best person that I can be in and around the game, the best mentor, the best role model, the best spokesperson, the best example. And I'm hoping that you'll join me on that journey.